It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, it's Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 95% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And we're actually sitting side by side, which we have never, ever done. Because this week is Toy Fair.
Yes.
And we realized, let's look at all this stuff while we're talking about it so we don't forget anything. And then we realized we'd be passing it back and forth. We usually sit facing each other. So this is where we're both staring out the door of the studio, kind of hoping somebody else shows up.
Just so we're both looking at them.
Yeah.
Toy Fair is this week, John. Toy Fair, it kind of starts the convention season. That is an awesome Colossus.
Yeah.
that is a terrible costume for Colossus. This is the...
Who designed...
This is a Simone Bianchi. We're just going to jump into it, I guess. I think.
Simone Bianchi?
I don't know how you say the name, but after Astonishing X-Men, her and Warren Ellis, I think it's a her.
Oh, took over Astonishing X-Men.
Took over and redesigned all the costumes, or ruined them all. And they were all great costumes because Cassidy came in. Me and Navarez argue about whether or not Beast's costume was awesome, but it was great. Dave's in full. I like Colossus.
It does kind of look like he was wearing a diaper.
Yeah, that's fine. I like Colossus with a beard. I think that's cool. That he has like an alternate head that has a beard, but this is like it just looks like a bad wrestler costume or something.
Well, the thing I hate about it is he's got this black arrow in the middle of his stomach
pointing down to his dick.
Yeah, and honestly, they could have not done this costume and just repainted it and not had to resculpt it.
Yeah.
All right, but like, let's get started. So we've been I've gone to Toy Fair like 3 or 4 times when I lived in New York. I haven't been back since. So I'm like pretty much everybody else where I've been watching the coverage online, which has been happening in real time. I remember going back, 10 years ago before Wi-Fi was really everywhere. Like you'd have to like look every morning for what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was huge because before that it was like you had to wait a month for Tomarth and Wizard.
Yeah, but now it's like instantaneous. I mean, people are tweeting photos and shit from the floor now.
Right. And the companies are just emailing the press with the product shots.
Yeah.
So one of the things that was announced, and we can go line by line, but one of the things that was announced is a Toys R Us exclusive Marvel Legends pack of classic Cyclops and Dark Phoenix.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I will show you.
Yeah, let's find that.
And they just mentioned it as a line, and people are like, oh, I want to see it, I want to see it. Next day, Hasbro sent out press shots.
Yeah.
And it's like, he said literally 24 hours.
That's
but
amazing.
It's a classic John Byrne Cyclops.
Yeah.
Which they haven't really done.
That just kind of looks like a repaint from the one you have. Remember you got the original Marvel Select they did for that Cyclops?
Oh, yeah, but that was a Marvel Select, less articulation. This is Marvel Legends.
Oh, these are the Legends. That's
even better.
Yeah, and
then there's Dark Phoenix, which
awesome.
Has translucent hair. And like,
yeah,
fire
this translucent effects that they've been doing for like 2 or 3 years now are just awesome. Is that the Beetle?
Yes, it is.
Is that classic Beetle?
Let's talk Marvel Legends first. So Marvel Legends, this whole show, actually, and Marvel Legends is a perfect example of this. This whole show was like... Nothing really blew me away. Nothing was like, oh my God, there's one thing which we will talk about that was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
But it's like all the continuing lines are really good.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like things are getting more expensive. And it's like, oh, I'm going to spend all the money I would spend on 30 figures and get 18 figures, but they're all going to be really good.
Right.
Did
they list that their prices are going up this year? Because DC jumped from $24.99 to $28.99.
Right. And DC also, I was just having this conversation with the Batman animated series, which we can go to in detail. Looks great. There's some surprises there, but they're doing less and less of the single cards and they're doing more multi-packs. They're doing more play sets.
Hmm.
So we're going from the 28, we're seeing a lot of stuff that's going to be 50,
yeah.
60,
well,
175.
The newest one was the Batman Beyond, old Bruce Wayne and Ace the Bat Hound. And
I bought that from you this weekend.
Yeah,
it's great.
But isn't that was 60, $50, right?
Right.
Yeah, so it's 50 for, you figure, for two figures, $24.99, and then another $10 for the dog, who did have articulation.
Yeah, we're gonna get a lot more of those. One of the things, DC is always interesting because they solicit so far in advance,
yeah,
that you usually hear about this stuff when it hits previews.
Yeah, for like a full year almost. Yeah, I mean, so the Batplane we knew about last
Toy Fair.
Toy Fair, yeah. And it came out in December.
Yeah, and now we found out about the Batcave, which is also $175.
And that's going to be this Christmas's big ticket?
Yep, it'll come out around the same time.
Yeah.
That the Batmobile came out 2 years ago and that the Batplane came out last year. And the Batcave. And it's also $175, but damn it, if it doesn't look good, it comes with Alfred.
It's pretty awesome.
It comes with a whole computer and it looks phenomenal, and it's at the point where I'm so deep into this line,
yeah,
and it hasn't let me down yet. It's just paying a bill. It's like, what's that, 100? Oh, it's 175? All right, it's 175. Yeah. It's like I have no grounds to argue against
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're powerless.
Completely powerless. Marvel Legends, on the other hand, is still staying retail, so it looks like they're holding at 20 retail. We have a few box sets. We have a few cool things. Not a lot of lines we saw. We saw a second Guardians of the Galaxy line.
Is this going to be like more like movie guys?
Movie yeah, with some...
like one or two comics?
One or two comics, yeah. For example, the next set, Death's Head.
Yeah, is that what Death Heads look like?
Yeah, he's a British comic that's gotten
Stu's obsessed with him because he's like a Transformer type character.
Yeah, Stu's obsessed with the Darkhawks and the Death Heads.
He's very into the strange, awful characters. That's Ex-Nihilo from Avengers run. Oh, that's a Build-A-Figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those were cool characters from that Hickman run, but that was a very of its time book. Is that Captain Universe there?
Who's that? Captain Universe Spider-Man is in the next set.
And they've never made him before?
I think Toy Biz might have made him like as a quick repaint. Yeah. Like back when Toy Fair magazine
was a thing.
And they had exclusive figures every
Remember
month.
When Toy Fair and Wizard used to be separate magazines?
Yeah. Toy Fair was that big a deal. I remember when they spun off Toy Fair because they were getting so huge.
Let's see the Beetle.
The Beetle looks good.
Oh, he's awesome. I
apologize if this hour is going to be going like, ooh, look at that guy.
Yeah, well, what website are we on, John? You can follow right along
now,
at home, folks.
Right now we're on marvelousnews.com. We will be jumping around because there are certain websites that focus on certain things. I wrote for action figure website for about a year or two.
Yeah.
And each one of them kind of has their niche. So there's no one real great site to go to.
Yeah, you got to kind of jump around.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of thefwoosh.com, which is a message board. And that's just good because everybody posts links to other places.
Right.
So that's tend to have been my hub since like the early 2000s. But yeah, there's a video of the Hasbro reps going like, yeah, you guys want a Beetle. So here's Beetle.
Yeah.
We gave you female Beetle last year. And you said, great, give me the old Beetle.
Yeah.
It's like, so...
I think that's kind of the charm of these figures. I don't do action figures because I don't have money for this kind of awesome stuff. The Marvel.
Well, everyone has to draw their line collecting. This is why I don't buy HeroClix.
Exactly.
Or Magic or...
Yeah, everyone's got to kind of find their happy medium. These are Marvel Legends.
Yeah, these are the Hasbro Marvel Legends, not the Diamond.
Yeah, that Marvel might be my favorite toy line because they do stuff like this where they're like, okay, we're going to do the Beetle. And at some point, I assume. I'm at this point now, I think, where we're going to get everything. It's like if somebody says, do you ever think they'll make a Why the Last Man show? Yes. Do you ever think they're going to make a... The answer is yes. They will make everything and anything you're looking for at some point will get made. In our lifetimes, I think. But like this Beetle's really cool, but it's just like, I know a year or two from now, we're going to be here doing it, and they're going to be doing the original Beetle with like the suction cup.
Yeah, I'd buy that
and
too.
Like the pencil head hat. It's just like, it's awesome that they actually do this stuff, because I never thought we would get stuff like this. And this isn't actually the first Beetle figure. I had a Beetle figure when I was a kid.
In the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, they did one. And yeah, he was way out of scale, and he was...
There was a period
different.
In the late
very strange.
Well, there was a period in the late 90s where they were getting really influenced by McFarlane.
Yeah.
So the figures started getting bigger and they started getting more pre-posed.
Right.
And a lot of them with every line, they always end up introducing a character that hasn't been there before. So it always becomes this mismatch. You never have a complete universe in one scale.
Right.
Which is
the frustrating part of this.
That's the ongoing frustration
thing,
of my entire life.
Yeah.
I was going through my Batman figures and I realized, oh, there's a Talia video game figure. And there's a Talia animated figure, and there's no Talia comic figure.
Right.
So if I try to pare down one line, there's characters I won't own anymore.
You got that. You're wearing this shirt. It's a. We both love Mike Rowingo. He's probably one of our favorite artists. He's a great dude. You have that Thing figure they did for the
Mike Rowingo thing.
And how frustrated is it that they didn't make the other members of the Fantastic Four and Rowingo? Do you know what I mean? It's like that would drive me crazy.
They sort of did. There was a box where they did like Rowingo heads on the regular bodies. So that kind of counts. Well, here's the thing. As you're talking about Marvel Legends kind of catering to the old fans, they are doing Walgreens have become a big thing with Marvel Legends.
Yeah. They get like exclusives and stuff.
Well, the thing about Walgreens, and it was an interview I was doing for the show, is there's so many Walgreens out there that if they decide to order an exclusive figure, even though they have half an aisle in an entire Walgreens for figures, they'll order more than Toys R Us will.
Right.
Because there's just so many more Walgreens.
Yeah, even if you put like two of these at every store, they'd have more. It's crazy.
So they've done exclusives like Ant-Man, the Eric O'Grady Ant-Man, the Yellow Daredevil, the Jim Lee Punisher, the Modern Namor, and they'll just randomly pop up in a Walgreens. This year, they're doing Sue Storm and Human Torch. They're not doing Reed Richards or Thing.
Yeah.
But they're doing Sue Storm and Human Torch, new sculpts, and in Fantastic Four uniforms. And so
which uniforms? Are they in just like the classic?
Blue and black.
Blue and black?
Blue and black, and Johnny's just flamed on. So,
yeah.
So he's a translucent figure. And I'm sure it's in here. And so I saw an interview asking... Oh, there they are. I saw an interview asking about...
And Herbie the Robot.
And Herbie the Robot. It looks like a re-release of the toy biz for Herbie the Robot. So you see, they have fours on them. They look great.
Yeah, they really do.
So they asked somebody asked the Hasbro reps about it, and they said, "Yeah, well, Fantastic Four is important in the Marvel Universe, but they don't really exist in the larger consciousness right now. There's no comic book.
Yeah,
you know, Fox is not going to do anything with the movie.
The Thing's a Guardians of the Galaxy member right now, and Human Torch is working with the Uncanny Inhumans.
Right, just to kind of
he's like sleeping with Medusa, which is weird.
That's weird
because
I didn't know
his first girlfriend Crystal is Medusa's younger sister, and it's very strange.
I know guys that are trying to do that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, just go down a family.
Just hit them,
but." But so they asked, like, why are these figures coming out? And they said, well, we have a good relationship with Walgreens. Walgreens is where we can do more hardcore collector figures. And right now, the Fantastic Four are.
Yeah.
So there's this interesting relationship Marvel has with the Fantastic Four. They'll never completely divorce themselves.
No, they'd be crazy too.
It's the first Marvel comic.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that they broke the team up even. I thought they'd become like Nick Fury, who rarely has his own series.
Right.
But he's always around.
Yeah, he's in something. Books. You know, here's the thing. I think they're waiting. We cover the movies so much now. We might as well rename the podcast. I think Marvel's
talking
waiting.
About toys today, though.
That's right. But I think Marvel's waiting to get the movie rights back to the Fantastic Four, and they will do a massive relaunch in the comics when they do. I think the Fantastic Four is coming back. It's just going to be a minute. You know, it doesn't sell well enough to where it's. I think hurting Marvel not to have them. But I think from the wellness of the company. It's Marvel's first family. You know, it's their massively
It's a trademark
important.
They need to keep alive.
They do,
You know what it's like? Disney will go years and years without doing anything with Mickey Mouse.
Right.
But they're never going to get rid of it.
Right, exactly.
So along with the two-packs, Toys R Us is doing two two-packs. As we said, Cyclops and Dark Phoenix, classic. The second one is the Modern Spider-Man, which has that glowing blue spider.
Which, we've talked before about this glowing blue spider. It's not a terrible redesign because the eyes glow too, and it's more of a technology-based costume. But that glowing Spider-Man, they barely draw it glowing.
But
that's the first thing you were right a year ago. You're like, that'll...
Yeah, I was like, that won't last
6 months. And it's...
But it's good to get the Modern Spider-Man costume. But he also comes in a two-pack with Mary Jane.
Oh, that's cool.
So those will be Toys R Us exclusives. And Toys R Us exclusives are usually pretty easy to get. They usually order them really heavily. They've had a couple that didn't sell that well. They put out the all-new X-Men 2 years ago. and didn't sell.
The younger X-Men, all five of them?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, in the yellow and blue.
See, though, I think the one frustrating thing for me with Marvel specifically, DC's great about this. DC, every year, they are constantly doing artist-based action figures. The most recent we got in the store were the Lee Beremigio Superman and Batman.
Yeah, those are nice.
They're very nice, and they've been doing lines like this forever. I mean, they did Jack Kirby New God figures. They've done Michael Turner figures, Jim Lee figures. Yeah. You've got a whole drawer of Capullo figures.
Darwin Cook.
These figures are amazing. Marvel doesn't. And it's very frustrating because how crazy would you go for a Jack Kirby Fantastic Four box set of the four Fantastic Four members drawn and sculpted like Jack Kirby drawings?
Yeah, I remember back in the late 90s when Toy Biz was kind of running it to the end of the 5-inch.
Yeah.
They did the classic Jack Kirby X-Men. Then they did the Jack Kirby Avengers.
Was that the box set?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the X-Men box set, for some reason, we had. They're in the blue and yellow uniforms. Yep. And they're phenomenal figures. But they didn't look like Jack Kirby figures. I think they weren't sculpted like that.
Kind of did. I mean, they looked Silver Age.
Yeah.
But the Avengers one really did. It was like, it was a gold Iron Man, and it was...
like the Frankenstein-looking Hulk and like the purple diaper.
Exactly. It was everybody but Cap, because it was Avengers
number
one.
Yeah, it was number one.
And Ant-Man and Wasp were like little figures. PVC
yeah.
Figures. But and at the time I was like, well, the next one's got to be Jack Kirby Fantastic Four. And
yeah,
it just didn't happen.
Never happened. See, that's so crazy. They would do X-Men. And
Marvel will do different eras, but they really won't narrow on an artist. Like they'll do. I have versions that you could say is a Ditko Spider-Man and
sure,
a Spider-Man
but
and
it's
a
the costume elements.
Yeah, it's not style. When and also the thing about Marvel Legends is because they're mass market and they don't quite spend the money on sculpts. They basically have a library of bodies that they use.
Right.
Like, okay, here's a medium body. This is good for Human Torch and Namor.
Electro.
And Cyclops.
Whoever.
And then here's a thin body. This is good for Spider-Man and Quicksilver. And here's a big body. It's good for Hulk and Thor. And they tend to reuse those bodies a lot.
Right.
So they have much less leeway to, as DC Direct did with like New Gods figures, sculpt a body that had like sharp lines in and flat fingers.
That's the kind of shit I'm talking about. Is the DC Direct figures were some of them were shit. You know, the Frank Quitely All-Star Superman figures were very disappointing looking, but those Jack Kirby New Gods figures were amazing. The Jim Lee Hush figures were awesome.
Right.
The Alex Ross Justice figures were unbelievable.
And to be fair, they're really knocking it out of the park with the Bruce Timm animated figures.
So
that
exactly.
line is alive in that way, and that's one of the things that's just getting bigger and bigger. We were talking about just before about the Batman animated in DC is rolling along. There's still no signs of switching over to Justice League
or Superman. Even
now we're getting a Superman 2-pack of just Superman and Lois, the way we got a Batman pack of Batman, Bruce Wayne, and Ace.
But how many how much longer they make these figures pretty quickly? They got to be running out of figures. I mean, who's left?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Not many. I think the only ones they haven't announced are a Penguin from the second series.
Original series Scarecrow.
Yeah, original series Scarecrow. You can make an argument for guys like Lockup and Hugo Strange. And
sure.
I have friends that are talking about Red Claw and
Rupert
Thorne. I mean,
yeah, totally. Go nuts. Make them all.
But my thought has always been once the well's really dry, just jump everything and say Justice League Unlimited, because everyone in the DC universe, including people from those other shows, showed up there. So yeah, you could do a Superman line, but you could also take the Bizarro and Parasite and Toyman and Lex Luthor you were going to do in a Superman line and sprinkle them into a Justice League line where you have Green Arrow and Jon Stewart and Kanja Roe and Orm and Bearded Aquaman and the Justice Society. And you could do what they're doing with DC Icons. It's just, here's DC Universe, here's some guys we're going to do this month.
Yeah. Because then that as soon as they start doing Justice League, that's like five more years easily for the amount of characters that appeared in that fucking show.
And as a company, DC has no plans to continue the Capullo line, which
makes sense.
Makes sense. Capullo's
done at DC.
He's doing a creator.
Yeah, he's
comic.
Doing that Reborn.
Yeah, he may come back to DC, but I doubt he'll even come back to Batman.
No,
but there were a good 20 figures in that line. That was like the third biggest line they have. If they just said, all right, Justice League Unlimited and DC Icons, then they do the entire universe in animated and comic book style.
Yeah.
And they can just go as long as they want. That's what Marvel Legends does. And Marvel Legends does that with live action movie figures
right.
and comic figures and mix them together in the same.
And I mean, they do the updates too. You know, it's like every year we get a new Wolverine or a new Spider-Man.
Because their costumes keep changing.
Right. Because the toys sell so well.
Marvel Legends is also getting
a vicious cycle.
Big A-Force box set, which is a book I don't know a lot about.
Yeah, it's cool. The A-Force box set is cool because it gives us a couple things that I've never seen before. Elsa Bloodstone is an awesome character from other things, but notably for me, Next Wave. Monica Rambeau, She-Hulk are awesome Avengers. I don't know that they've ever
made. They look like nice figures.
She-Hulk, but she's not super great. This is like the updated She-Hulk. Female Loki's always cool. And then Sif, you know.
There's never been a Sif.
Yeah, there's never been a Sif for the comic. And then this, I don't know who this new character is. She's like, they made her up in the book.
Are you reading A-Force? Because you read
The
Avengers pretty heavy.
Yeah, A-Force was, I read it during, it came out during Secret Wars, and it was a cool concept. But then after Secret Wars, they relaunched so many titles, including A-Force. It was one of the ones I didn't have time for.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something I'm going to get to because there's so few characters I recognize. She-Hulk is probably my favorite. And I have a decent She-Hulk in a Fantastic Four uniform.
Yeah.
That you can switch to a lawyer outfit from the Dan Slott run.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
that's a run I've never read.
It's great.
We've talked about this before.
It's really,
She-Hulk
really fun,
is
yeah.
She-Hulk's an interesting character. She's kind of just created for basically Marvel to stop anyone else from creating a female.
Yeah, which is
Hulk.
The same reason Spider-Woman and Ms. Marvel were created.
They right,
were all
during
the same
70s.
Time. Yeah, the late 70s. One of the lawyers at Marvel was like, hey, DC could create a She-Hulk.
Right.
And they were like, well,
then they freaked.
Let's not let that happen.
Which is cool. I mean, it's regardless of how they came out. She-Hulk is probably one of the characters. I don't know any other character like this that they've had the very limited but phenomenal runs. Everyone always talks about She-Hulk, like
the Dan Slott run.
Dan Slott run.
John Byrne run.
She's one of those characters. The last two runs I read were really good. She just seems to attract very, not mega stars, but she's getting people on these books, and these books are typically always very good, you know?
Yeah, she's an interesting character. I think she hits that note. She's not as well known as Harley Quinn, but I feel like she hits that note where she's a really positive female role model. She's not over-sexualized.
Right.
She's not, she never quite sounds like she's written by a man, which is important.
Yeah.
You know, which is why characters like the new Ms. Marvel are taking off, because they have a real female-led feeling, and it's good to see her. She's always in something, and it's good to see her in A-Force, which,
yeah.
Again, I don't read. We are also getting a full Netflix line.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about this last week or the following week. I just finished Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Are they that caught up? Are they doing like Luke Cage and
well,
the bad
they showed,
guys?
They showed four characters at Toy Fair. Daredevil, Elektra, Punisher, and Jessica Jones. We saw at San Diego. They showed them again.
Right.
They said there will be two other characters, which...
Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Right. And
right.
They said there's a Build-A-Figure and it's not Kingpin.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe it's a character we're going to run into in Defenders.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah,
maybe it's a Build-A-Sigourney Weaver.
Did you finish... wait, what show is Sigourney Weaver in?
She's going to be the villain in Defenders.
Oh, really? Who's she playing?
I don't know.
Is it a mystery?
Either they haven't said or they said and it was a character...
That we didn't know?
That didn't resonate with me at all.
Yeah. Did you finish Luke Cage?
I did. I watched it in like a weekend. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was the best one.
Yeah, I was talking to buddies about we all love Luke Cage, but for some reason, and this happens with multiple people I've talked to at the store, everyone seems to have a hard time finishing it. Is that they get like when there's four episodes left and then everyone walks away from it for a couple months.
I watched it with food poisoning.
Oh, there you go.
So I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But it did kind of... It does kind of start to run out of steam and then pick back up.
But, like, would they ever make Cottonmouth and, like, Diamondback?
I mean, they made a comic Cottonmouth.
No, but I'm saying, like, from these Netflix shows.
I mean, the character that played Cottonmouth is, like, nominated for an Oscar now.
Right.
So you have a...
What was
Moonlight.
For Moonlight?
Moonlight,
yeah.
So you
and
have
Moonlight
a little bit more interest.
I guess we'll do an Oscar podcast. When is that? 2 weeks from now?
I think it's next week.
Maybe that's next week.
Another year I haven't seen any. Walmart is also doing, we're still on Marvel Legends, Walmart is also doing an Ultimate Spider-Man versus Ultimate Vulture 2-pack.
Oh, this is Ultimate. This isn't the movie.
No. No, because we're getting the movie. We talked about this before. The movie set, we're getting a Vulture.
Oh, my God. And
then the Build-A-Figure is the wings.
Just the wings, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the figure will be sold separately.
The figure will be one figure in the set.
Right.
And that figure will come with a piece of the wings, which everyone else comes with.
That
and that'll
amazing.
Be
amazing. Are you going to get that?
Yeah, I'm going to get that whole set.
Yeah, I want to see that thing built.
There's two Spider-Mans in it. There's like wrestling Spider-Man. which we saw a very brief clip of in Civil War.
This is the movie figure. See, that's awesome because you know why? That's the fucking Ben Reilly costume. That's them saying, yeah, here's Ben Reilly with the hoodie.
And then we're getting a standard Homecoming, which is going to have a switchable head with big eyes and small eyes.
Oh, cool, because the lenses
And move. It has web wings. And then
the web wings, I'm so glad we're finally getting web wings.
We're getting a vulture, and we are getting, that's where we get the classic Beetle, and a Tombstone is in that set.
Comic Tombstone?
Comic Tombstone.
The are they going to make a Shocker from the movie figure?
That's awesome. It doesn't look like it. They haven't shown it, because they showed the whole set.
Who
and wasn't in it.
Is responsible for giving us Tombstone?
Who created him? Jerry Conway.
Okay.
Jerry Conway and Sal Buscema created him in Peter Parker. And they wanted somebody who had a villain who had a relationship with Joe Robertson.
Because yeah,
Joe
so
Robertson
he's like
was always an interesting character.
It's like childhood friend, right?
Yeah. He was a childhood friend who was also like his bully.
Yeah.
And got him arrested.
Right.
So
they did like a whole backstory for him.
Yeah, that's an interesting run of Spectacular Spider-Man. I read that my long boxes were filling up. Yeah, a lot of people were turned off by the Sal Buscema art, but
sacrilege, I guess. A lot of my buddies would be furious with me, but I'm not a huge Sal Buscema fan. I don't mind him at all.
Are you thinking of John Buscema?
No, I love John Buscema. Okay. That's the issue, I think.
Yeah, Sal Buscema is like, he's not pretty to look at, but he tells the story.
Yeah.
Well, you fly through a Sal Buscema comic. You're never confused about who people are or where they're coming from.
Right.
And he did a long, long, long run
on
Peter Parker. He did a long run on the Hulk.
Yeah, that's his, like, his other big book.
Yeah, it was like after Herb Trimpe.
Yeah.
And like the 70s and into the 80s. But he did a long run on Peter Parker after Peter David's run. Which,
yeah.
I think it was Rich Buckler drew. He didn't really – Peter Parker was always a book that kind of just had people come and go. Like, it was kind of the tryout book for Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, Roger Stern started on Peter Parker.
And then they put him on Amazing.
Yeah, and then Peter David did a long run on Peter Parker, and they never gave him Amazing, but then they like gave him Hulk and X-Factor,
for
and he blew
20
up.
Years.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
But Buscema was on there for a long time. Buscema did a lot of Spider-Girl, too.
Oh, okay.
Like Pat Olyph, Ron Frenz,
yeah.
Sal Buscema did a lot of Spider-Girl.
Pat Olyph's another one. I've read The Untold Tales of Spider-Man with him. And it's a great book, but that art, I'm not... It's not bad enough to turn me off, but it was rough to get through.
I thought he was good on Untold. I thought it was like, it was an easy read. It wasn't, it wasn't flashy. Spider-Girl's,
right.
Spider-Girl's
I think that's what it is.
Rougher.
I'm a little more looking for something with a little more pop, I think.
Maybe. But, yeah, so we only really saw one new Spider-Man wave, which is the movie wave, the second Guardians of the Galaxy wave, and the rest for this year is there's an X-Men wave that's hitting right now with Warlock that has a Jim Lee Cyclops in
it. Is that the wave that has the Sunfire in it?
Yes.
So that hasn't come out yet, but
it's hitting
coming
right
out.
Now. There's reports that it's hitting Target.
Yeah.
Which kind of made me want to go to Target today.
Yeah.
And then also the first Guardians of the Galaxy wave is starting to come out.
Okay.
And that has Yondu and some comic figures like Angela, which is designed only to piss Todd McFarlane off.
Yeah. Anything that pisses him off, I'm all about.
Well, to make a Marvel character from Marvel figure from a Spawn character.
Yeah.
There's no other reason to do that other than annoy him.
Yeah, no one cares about Angela.
Darkhawk is in that set.
Ugh.
Which makes Stu very happy.
Yeah, Stu's gonna get 12 of them.
Those two waves are hitting. So we only really saw those and, like I said, some box sets. The A-Force box set, the Peter Mary Jane 2-pack, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
I like the new costume, and I want a Mary Jane. And the
Cyclops Phoenix,
which I'm very excited for because that's like I love Cyclops, and I've defended him on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people hate him.
People hate him, and I don't understand.
And he's had some really horrible costumes, but his two best costumes
are
Marvel Legends are producing this year. And they
because they're doing the 90s one and this one.
The 90s one is in this Warlock set that's hitting now.
The
along with Shatterstar.
Or Burn. I don't know who did that.
Yeah, Vance Astor was in this Guardians of the Galaxy wave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's a terrible costume.
It is.
Actually, you know what? Every one of those original Guardians.
It looks like it was designed on the page in an issue of Marvel 2-in-1.
Yeah, every Guardians of the Galaxy, the original costumes are horrific.
Not a terrible book originally.
Not one of those characters looks good.
No, well, the movies are based on the Abnett and Lanning reboot.
Yes.
Which was interesting, and they're the ones that put Star-Lord and Groot and Gamora.
Right,
and
Mantis.
Drax in it. Yeah. And before that, I mean, Drax wore a cape.
Yeah, he looked like a Tick villain. Do you know what I mean? That's how silly he looked. He was a big Green Hulk guy with like a cape and a funny hood.
Yeah.
It was awful. And yeah, a wrestling belt, and he had these like huge gauntlets on.
And he was like really dumb.
Yeah, he was very goofy.
Oh, we were also getting another two-pack from the movie of Unmasked Spider-Man and Iron Man's new armor.
That's a great likeness on that
kid.
It is
a good likeness.
Tom Holland.
It's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I don't need that, and then I know I will find it and buy it.
Yeah.
And then the Iron Man, it looks like it's the same design
actually,
as...
Actually, that looks very much like... Wait,
Ultimate.
Is that? Yeah.
It looks like the design is Age of Ultron, or Civil War, rather.
But recolored?
But recolored to be more like Ultimate.
And that's from Homecoming?
Yeah, from Homecoming. Huh. I mean, Tony changes his armor
trailer,
every
he
single.
Was wearing like the Age of Ultron. It didn't look like that.
Most of those movies, he wears more than one armor.
Yeah, so maybe it's his...
So it's possible. Nebula is in the next set.
Movie
so the Karen
or comic?
Gillan movie.
Yeah, she looks like she has a much bigger part in the second one.
Yeah. For another really
yeah,
good
see, that's
likeness.
A great likeness.
The Build-A-Figure in the second set will be Mantis. So Mantis from the movie.
Yeah, it's always weird when the Build-A-Figure is a regular-sized fella.
Well, they said she was really expensive to make because they couldn't reuse any parts from any other figure.
Oh.
Which happens a lot with the movie figures.
You think they would have just
Iron
used
Man.
Like a Gamora body or something?
Well, it looks like her costume.
Because of all the different like leafy looking bits
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, and just the way it's cut, like she's got bare shoulders but not bare arms. So that's pretty much Marvel. Marvel Select is giving us some cool stuff. We're getting more cool mini mates. We're getting a line. The 4-inch line is still continuing. It's got a couple of cool things. But
yeah. Thunderbolt Shocker.
Yeah, but we are getting a Sinister Six 4-inch box set. Which,
oh, but it's a 4-inch size.
I know.
Yeah, that scale just infuriates me.
And it's all... I know. I was just having this conversation that there was a period... Now, I grew up with that scale because that was
Star Wars.
Yeah. And then G.I. Joe followed in that scale because that was the scale it was selling.
Yeah.
And then He-Man started to push it. And then Superpowers and Toy Biz
just got bigger
started
and bigger.
To push it. But I always loved that scale because it was easy to do play sets. And then it said it got pushed until it was 6-7. By the late 90s, and then in 2008, well, in 95, they started bringing Star Wars back in the same size.
Yeah.
And then when the prequels came out, then that scale became big again. But then around 2008, once Hasbro bought Toy Biz, they introduced the Marvel series in that scale. And then they put out Indiana Jones in that scale because Crystal Skull was out.
Right.
And then Mattel put out their like Infinite Earths in that scale. And everybody abandoned the 6-inch scale. And at the time, I think I even have blog posts if you want to dig back going like, well, this is the end of Marvel Legends. It was a great run. Now it'll be all 3¾-inch. And I bought hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And then the 6-inches came back and then the 3¾-inches just got pushed to the side again.
It's like it goes in like cycles. It's crazy.
And I had to track down a lot of the Marvel Legends that I had sold.
Yeah.
Luckily, like a friend of mine gave me a bunch. I found a lot at like C2E2, Loose.
Yeah, I think that's
and
the
I rebuilt
good thing
my
is
collection.
There's the rebuilding market isn't horrific. Do you know what I mean? It's like you could still get a lot of those guys for
right.
like $10.
And a lot of them are getting replaced. I mean, we're getting two new Cyclopses.
Right.
You know, we just got a Brown Wolverine. We just got a new Juggernaut.
Dazzler.
Classic Dazzler.
Ugh.
Yep. A classic Polaris.
Oh, see, that's the kind of stuff that's like that. Polaris is awesome.
Yeah,
the Sunfire they're coming out with is awesome.
This is a set that's sitting now. We have an Old Man Logan to tie in with the movie because Marvel doesn't make movie X-Men figures. They
yeah.
just make comic figures
and
that are close to that.
It's weird.
Figure.
It's by now I really would have thought, so they killed Wolverine in the comics. Remember, they like bathed him in adamantium and he like died?
Yeah, so should they bring Old Man Logan back in
during
time?
Secret Wars.
Okay, so is he in the current
He's
time?
In the current... Like, that's the Wolverine right now.
Because, like, you've seen group shots with Old Man Logan.
Yeah, and they just call him Logan.
they don't want to call him Old Man to his face?
Well, no, they call him Old Man Logan sometimes, but they call him Logan because his X-23 is Wolverine now. Which I actually like.
And she's actually wearing the mask now.
Yeah, she's wearing a blue and yellow uniform. I think it's more blue than yellow. But she's, like, running around with the all-new X-Men kid. So it's, like, her on a team with, like, the original 5 X-Men. And, like, a couple other characters. But it's, like, her interacting with, like, young Cyclops and Beast is awesome. It's, like, I like the dynamic they were setting up. It's just it was a shit book.
Yeah. Well, so that's Marvel, which, you know, is still going as fast. It's not as huge as some years, but it's still a good amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Mattel didn't show... DC showed a lot, and it was very focused on...
Batman the Animated
Batman
Series?
Batman the Animated Series and some more Icons. You know, we're getting Supergirl and Icons. Icons seems to be pretty solid. It seems to have found its
way. It's weird. I kind of thought...
How's it selling?
Well, they weren't selling initially when they came out. We got a couple of them. We had a lot of complaints about them being easy to break.
Yeah, I bought a Batman from you and both his arms broke.
Broke, right.
But then a couple weeks ago, I went to Mr. Wayne's in Westmont, which is a new store that's opened up, and they've been really, really nice to us.
Yeah.
So it's a nice, another little local shop. They have a whole wall of Icons. So whenever I go there, I try to buy something, and I was like, well, there's Batman and there's Joker. I'll always buy a Batman and a Joker.
Yeah.
And these are actually pretty nice.
Yeah, they must have changed, like, the factory or something, but they look great, and we've just started getting more in, and they're starting to sell a little bit better. So I think we'll continue to try them. But it's cool because they're the accessories-heavy line, it seems. It seems the Icons, more than any other set, have come with tons and tons of accessories based solely on the comics. Like, the Batman the Animated Series does episode-specific gear.
Right, and a lot of extra hands in those.
Right.
Although they're doing these... Batman the Animated Series is doing these expression packs. We saw this at San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a Batman with nine heads. Well, they added at Toy Fair a Joker.
With nine heads?
With nine heads.
Yeah.
With, like, angry and laughing and
beat
suspicious.
Up.
And he comes with a trench coat and a hat, so you can create that variant.
Yeah.
But again, Batman the Animated has been slowly rising their prices to, like, all right, 28 seems a lot for a single figure, but, oh, here's a deluxe figure for 40.
Right.
You know, it was like Clayface was 40.
Yeah.
You know, Man-Bat, when he came out, he was a $25 figure, and that's not
We were blown away because the packaging alone was, like, twice the size to cover the wingspan.
And they put Clayface in that same box, and he was 40.
Yeah, and I think they were just, like, I think our shock was their shock. You know, we were surprised when it rang out at $24.99. Right. And that was the retail amount of it. And then when Clayface came out, we were like, oh, yeah, it's...
Yeah, but
They might have made a mistake.
And then they put the Batplane out for $175. And apparently it sold well because we're getting a Batcave that's $175, as we said. We're also getting a five-pack of figures that's $175.
Who's in the five-pack?
Which is going to be Renee Montoya. And then it's four villains that they've given us in the second series.
Okay.
That haven't been made in the first series yet.
Okay.
So Bane, Mr. Freeze, Killer Croc, and Poison Ivy.
So the classic version of those four characters.
The classic version of all those because they've made all four figures in the second series version.
Okay. And this will be the only way to get Renee Montoya?
Be the only way to get Renee Montoya. It'll be the only way to get those versions if you want the Bane with his nose and his mouth cut out. If you want a gray Killer Croc. If you want the classic Mr. Freeze with the goggles.
Yeah.
This is the only way to get them.
Wow.
And it's $175.
Yeah.
And then there's a Girls' Night Out set, which I know has been here.
How do they... hang on a second. Five figures for $175?
Yeah. They said the box lights up.
That's seven figures, the pricing. Right, 25
But they're
bucks.
Charging you for five, yeah.
That's fucked up.
I know.
Yeah.
But they're going to get it.
I know.
And that's the thing with this Batcave. The Batcave does look huge. And from front on, the press shot, it looks pretty small. But the shots in the room, it's actually a really wide floor.
Yeah. I wonder how big that box is going to be.
I don't know. It all depends on how you can break it up. Because it's possible you can take it apart and lay it flat.
Right.
And then it wouldn't be as big. But there were a lot of people online saying, like, hey, where's the trophy room? Where's the dinosaur? Where's the penny? Where's
and the costumes, like, in the little glass cases?
Yeah, but you know what? Those are all from later series. This is a Batman the Animated Series
Batcave.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they'll do the second Batcave and it'll have all that shit in it.
And maybe it'll connect to it.
Right.
Maybe it'll be a build a Batcave.
Oh,
for $175 each, and yes.
Every year you get a different piece of the Batcave.
Yeah.
It would be cool if they had the thing that rotates with the Batmobile on it, so you could put your Batmobile on the thing that rotates.
See, that I don't want because it's just a piece of floor.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it spins around, but so, I could go get a Lazy Susan and a cake plate and do that.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but the thing about the Batman the Animated Series, I mean, it was like the Tim Burton Batcave where it was all just cliffs and then it was just like drop-offs and empty space.
Right.
So there wasn't a lot to that Batcave. The second series is kind of where they had the train floor. So
yeah.
There was a lot more floor space, and then Batman Beyond had the costumes. So it's possible you could make a Batman Beyond Batcave with the costumes lined up, and then, like, it sits next to that computer.
Yeah.
But they are going up with it, and it's like, there's a Girls' Night Out set, a five-pack that's $80, but three of the figures in it are straight releases with no accessories. There's no extra hands.
They're not even
I don't
painted
even know that
differently.
There's bases. No. There's a Batgirl, a Harley, and a Poison Ivy, all of which I've already bought. Because the single figures had more accessories. But then the exclusive figures are Supergirl and Livewire.
And they'll only be available in that set.
So far. I mean, a year down the line.
They might do a two-pack with those two or
I mean, they did that with the Batcave last year they put out the Batcave with the Bat Signal. People went nuts. So then they put out the Bat Signal with Batman and Robin.
Right.
On its own, and then sold both of them side by side. So they are kind of milking the audience. There's no two ways around that.
Yeah, and I think with that kind of stuff, they really got to be careful because you guys will buy everything they put out.
I will.
But they're going to make half of you guys salty. Do you know what I mean? You'll walk away from it because they're going to play games. It's like they might as well just make every figure and get what's fair out of you guys. You know what I mean? Without this, like, buy this figure six times because it comes with
Bat
Signal. You know, it's just it's shit business.
One of the really interesting things they did, DC Direct, they canceled all of their movie figures.
Wow.
They did not cancel the television figures. So they still have CW figures coming. Like, you know, Flash, Supergirl, Adam.
Yeah.
All the movies, Suicide Squad, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. They're making statues.
But they're not doing figures.
They're gone, which I...
That doesn't show a lot of confidence in their movie properties.
No, well, who has confidence in their movie properties?
I don't know.
It's
rough. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so some of the... Here, we're looking at the DC booth. There's some of the... There's the Joker expression pack.
Yes, it's like they have the Joker expression pack, which they look... The expressions are great. He comes with like a duck inner tube.
Yeah, he did that in Harley and Ivy.
Yeah, it's just like they...
Very specific. There's a Joker gun with his face on it.
Right. It's like they're doing so many cool things.
And it's hard. It's like you can argue about the price all you want, but it's hard to argue against the quality. It's like Hot Toys.
Right. I
mean, Hot Toys used to be $150, now they're $230.
Yeah.
And it's as much as you don't want to pay... $230.
But you see every penny.
But you're just like, well, where is it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... Those figures just lined up look awesome.
Well, they're not the old Kenner figures.
Yeah.
Bane has a barbell.
Yeah, you know, it's like Mr. Freeze looks great.
And it's a line that when they announced it 2 years ago, and my jaw hit the floor, and I said, everything. And I think I told you, I said, whatever you order, order one more.
Yeah, because you'll get every one.
I'm going to get everything.
And that's something, too. These figures sell great. I have a couple peg warmers still. You know, I'll always have a Penguin, and I think I've got, like, Riddler or somebody still. You know, but it's like, by and large, those figures, when they come out, I'll sell more than half of them the day it comes out.
Right.
Alfred looks so snooty.
Yeah, it's a good original series Alfred.
Yeah.
So they are doing fun stuff, but they're really putting their weight now. Oh, the Bombshell line is continuing.
They make Bombshell action figures?
Yeah, they're making Bombshell action figures.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Harley,
That's a strange line. It's like...
It seems like a niche market, but enough of a niche.
That it works. Yeah,
Starfire,
people love it.
Wearing a fire helmet. Look, as you said, there's a Constantine television figure coming out, but there
for
is
the show
not
that got
a
canceled.
Ben Affleck Batman coming out.
Yeah, wow.
That's how dire the movies are. But then, we're getting a Nightwing icons, because, you know,
yeah.
It's been long enough. I am interested in this Justice League pack. They're doing, I don't know if you ordered
that. Yeah, these Justice League packs are fun. They basically do the seven.
Yeah.
And every year, actually, they come out with a different version of it, and every year we get it, and every year it sells out.
Every year
it sells,
because I know they did a New 52, they've done an Alex Ross.
Yep. They did repaints of the New 52 and just re-released it.
But now they're doing icons this year.
Right. And that's
and
the thing. It's like, we'll
and
be
rebirth.
Able to sell it. People love and, you know, they've kind of swapped out Martian Manhunter for Cyborg, which, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's easy to have as many new members
Although
as you
they,
like.
They try to have their cake and eat it too with him and keep him in Teen Titans and in Justice League.
Right.
It's like when Wolverine was in the Avengers.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody has this much time.
No. And to their credit, I don't know if DC's done it, but Marvel would constantly poke fun at how many teams Wolverine was on in the other books. But yeah, Cyborg's weird. It's like, even in the New 52, they flash back in some of the Justice League books and be like, yeah, Martian Manhunter used to be on the team, but then he betrayed us. But then you never see it. It's always like a flashback, like Martian Manhunter fighting everyone.
Oh, well, they rewrote his character for New 52, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When the New 52 came out, this is like what they made his like backstory, is that he was a founding member of the Justice League, but then betrayed them, fought them all, and then they replaced him with like Cyborg, who was like coming up like an up-and-coming hero. But then it's weird because then, like, during the first issue of the Justice League book that Jim Lee drew, it was the original. It was the Justice League with Cyborg, like the seven you think of, and there was no mention of Martian Manhunter. And then later they're like,
"Yeah, Martian Manhunter was in Stormwatch when the new 52
started."
Yeah,
then they're like, "He joined after, and then he betrayed us." It's very strange.
So, so then moving from DC collectibles to Mattel, who we always lately kind of forget about the multiverse line.
It seems I honestly didn't know they were still making it.
There you go. They've been slowly getting back. I mean, the big thing last year was they made a full Suicide Squad set for the movie.
Yeah, I don't even remember seeing any of those figures.
There were one or two comic figures in there. I got like the Capullo Endgame Joker and the Zero Year Batman, but there hasn't been a lot. There were two sets. One they showed at San Diego, but it's still interesting. They're doing a Wonder Woman set with Chris Pine and Gal Gadot. But the first set they showed at San Diego has a Build-A-Gordon Batman armor.
Is that the bad guy from year two?
Yep, the Reaper is in it. The Alan Davis Reaper, which is exciting because they've never made him. Duke Thomas from We Are Robin is in it. Batwing, the Atom from Legends of Tomorrow, because apparently they're throwing in one or two TV, and then a Batman Rebirth. So that'll sell well. That almost makes me think maybe I'll buy that set. But then but it gets actually a little better. They announced a new set. Oh, there's a set hitting now. That has a King Shark Build-A-Figure that has Gordon Batman, Dark Knight Returns Joker, Batgirl of Burnside, Golden Age Flash from the TV show. So they're trying to do that balanced approach that Marvel is doing.
Yeah.
But whereas Marvel has like one movie universe and one comic universe, DC's kind of all over the place. They're not touching Gotham, which Diamond is still doing.
Yeah.
And they showed another set. Like there's an Azrael and Hugo Strange are going to be in the next
Jesus, is he in this show?
Oh, yes, he is.
God.
And you know what? Every time they pitch it is like, well, you'll like it now because Hugo Strange is in it. And I go, well, I'll watch it, but I'm not planning on liking it.
Yeah.
And then they don't care because I still watch it.
You still watch it.
But now the next set is actually really interesting. Is there's a Build a Clayface.
Oh, that's cool.
And Clayface looks the way he does in Detective Comics.
Right. It's like the bulkier.
With the, yeah, with
the shrunken head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
But
he kind of looks like a giant shit monster.
You know what I mean? I like that.
It's like it's kind of ridiculous.
But it also comes with Batwoman, Superman Rebirth that looks really good. It's like back to a classic Superman.
Yeah.
A John Romita Two-Face, so it'll be the first John Romita DC character.
I forgot that they could possibly do John Romita line of action figures.
Yeah, well, Mattel's only doing him.
Yeah.
But honestly, if they did...
Oh, but it's not like the artist figures. It's that...
It's somewhat close. If DC decided to do a John Romita All-Star Batman line...
Are you kidding me?
I would order the entire line. But Jessica Cruz, Green Lantern, isn't it?
And okay.
Who is she?
She's from the same universe as... I could be getting this wrong, but this happened when they brought in... Yeah, it looks good. When they did Trinity... They did the Earth 2 villains, okay. The Ultraman and all those. She came out of that story arc. So I don't know if she was a girl from here that was using the Power Ring or if she was their version of Power Ring and then became a Green Lantern.
And honestly, I have all the Green Lanterns from when the movie was going to come out and they were pumping out.
Oh my God, they made everybody.
So one more Green Lantern is not going to hurt me. And then Martian Manhunter from Legends of Tomorrow is in it, but he actually looks a lot like the new 52 Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, they followed that design pretty close.
And he comes with a Black Mercy.
He has an awful costume that they've done a decent job of keeping it what worked about it, or at least so it's recognizable.
Yeah, the first time I saw Martian Manhunter, a friend of mine in high school when I was starting to get into Justice League International, was like, oh, Martian Manhunter is the coolest guy. He has all the powers of Superman, and he's telepathic, and he's really cool. And I was like, yeah, but he's wearing like a harness and underpants.
Yeah.
With a cape. And you're right. They've never quite been able to modernize it to a point where it looks like it's like Colossus. Like you try to cover him up, but then he looks constricted somehow because you're so used to him being like open.
Yeah.
He's basically wearing Hawkman's outfit
without any pants on.
Right. Hawkman at least has pants.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird design. And those original Silver Age Martian Manhunter stories were terrible. Ugh, yeah, I'm not really big Dark Knight.
They're
Joker
continuing the Dark Knight. There's a Joker.
How many times can they remake that figure?
They've only made him once, and the DC Direct one wasn't posable, so I'm actually happy. There's a Dark Knight Returns Joker coming, and he has a switchable head with a batarang in his eye.
Yeah. I mean, that's a cool idea.
I'm getting it. So again, Mattel is like, every now and then they pop up, they're like, we make DC.
Don't forget too. About us.
There's a lot of DC action stuff, but it's very much geared for kids, like not a lot of articulation. So it's good to have a low price point for kids to get superheroes. And we're enjoying the Justice League action show.
That's that new one. It's out already, huh?
Yeah, they had a fun one where Blue Beetle and Batman were fighting Kronos. And they went back to, like, Batman Year One.
Yeah.
But everything kind of looked and sounded like Batman the Animated Series. Oh, so he was running cool. around with the purple gloves, but they would play the Batman the Animated Series theme.
Yeah.
And it was... It's fun. It's slight because it's only 10 minutes, so you can't really get into any detail with the storylines.
Right.
But it's enjoyable. So the last thing I want to cover, like all the usual suspects are there. You know, Playmates has more Ninja Turtles. You know, Star Wars is going to repackage the original 12 Kenner figures, the first 12 figures they did, but they're going to repackage the 6-inch Star Wars black versions and put them on like old 70s cards. So like the 6-inch Luke and Han Solo and C-3PO and R2-D2 are going to be on like Kenner blister cards.
That's cool.
And Darth Vader is going to come with the early bird package, which was that original box you bought that had the stand for all 12 figures.
That's cool.
So they're including the figures they haven't made yet, which is the Jawa and the Death Star Commander. So they showed those.
That's cool.
That was about it for Star Wars, because obviously everything's going to be about Last Jedi, and we're probably not going to see that till San Diego. They're not going to show any of the designs for the movie now. So Star Wars seemed a little slight. The last thing...
Somebody said they posted box art for what the box art for the Star Wars figures from The Last Jedi is going to look like.
Yeah.
And people lost their shit.
Yeah, it was like a logo.
Star Wars is the only property that can do that. Yep. That show just what the box looks like, and people lose their fucking minds.
So the last thing I want to get into, this is craziness. Nika. You know, Nika.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're good.
Nika basically took McFarlane's model and evolved it. Yeah. Like, there was a time where McFarlane got into the business doing his own Spawn figures. Then he started to pick up horror licenses. And first it was the movie Maniacs.
Right.
And then that expanded to do Alien Predator. Then he decided, no, what people really want are baseball action figures, and kind of tanked his own company.
Yeah.
To the point where he's slowly re-releasing Spawn figures. Well, Nika, who I have been told is supposed to be pronounced NECA, because it stands for Northeastern Collectible Association. Yeah. They picked up that ball, and they've been running with it for 10 years. So they've done all the horror licenses. They've had lots of Freddy Kruegers and Leatherfaces and Saw and...
Ash vs. The Evil Dead.
Well, yeah, so that's what we're getting. They just did an Ash vs. Evil Dead set, which is great. This year, no Ash vs. Evil Dead except for an Ash puppet. That's in one episode of season two, and I know you haven't gotten to season two yet.
Yeah.
But there's a Muppet Ash that when I saw it in the episode, I was like, oh, Nika should make that. And they did.
Didn't they do a Muppet Angel?
They did, because there was an episode where Angel had a spell put on him, was turned into a Muppet.
Yeah.
It was a funny episode.
Yeah.
But they're doing a two-pack from Evil Dead 2, which has a really cool Ash in it.
That's awesome.
And Evil Ed, who gets his head... chainsawed in half, so then you can pop half his head off.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's got a really good likeness, and he's kind of in the Army of Darkness outfit just because it's from the end of Evil Dead 2. But the really crazy thing is NECA has had this odd relationship with DC for the last couple of years. They put out these 18-inch figures of, like, Christian Bale and Michael Keaton and Adam West.
Yeah, didn't they do the box set of the Batman movie, and it was the Michael Keaton figure?
They did. Well, they've done these 18-inch figures, and every now and then they shrink them down to 7 inches to standard, and then they get them out through Toys R Us. So there was a big, big furor when the Michael Keaton one came out. And he was hard to find, and I got one, and it was fantastic. And then they've done Heath Ledger, and they've done Christian Bale, and they've done Adam West.
Didn't they do a Christopher Reeve?
They've done a Christopher Reeve Superman. Now, they showed a Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman and a Danny DeVito Penguin in the 18-inch scale.
Yeah.
So everybody's hoping, because they never announce these things right away. They never say, we're going to do a 7-inch for Toys R Us. It's always like this surprise, and it always comes packaged with a DVD, because that's the way they get around Mattel's license. Yeah. It's like, you buy Man of Steel on DVD, and you get a Christopher Reeve Superman,
right,
which is how I have a fucking Man of Steel DVD in my house. Oh, one last thing. They are doing a Super Sun. DC is doing a Super Sons icon set.
Yeah.
With Damian and
Super Sons is awesome. It came out this week.
You recommended it. I read it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I don't know how long I'll stay with it. But now, the most ridiculous thing they've ever done. One of the things NECA has been doing for years is Aliens and Predators. And they do a great job with them, but they do them every single year.
Yeah.
And, you know, now and then you get a Sigourney Weaver and an Arnold Schwarzenegger or a Lance Hendrickson, and they look great.
Yeah.
But mostly you just get Aliens and Predators and Predators.
Yeah,
and
they
aliens.
Did like a Red Alien one year.
Right, and they'll do them based on the comics. Well, so in the interest of doing things based on the comics and their strange connection to DC, they are doing two packs of the Batman Aliens crossover.
Where the alien was Joker-fied?
Yep, but the Batman is a Bernie Wrightson Batman.
Oh my god.
Because Bernie Wrightson drew the Batman Aliens crossover.
Yeah.
And it's actually the best Batman figure that I'm doing this year.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
So there are three packs. There's the Batman Aliens. There is a Superman Aliens, which may be the best Superman figure I have ever seen.
Yeah, I mean that's like a perfect Superman, like a classic Superman figure.
Yeah. Although DC Icons is doing a Superman Doomsday set.
Yeah.
Where Superman's right about to die. He even has a switchable dead head. But like it's where
the torn costume and the mullet.
It's completely like where the shirt's just like a shred. No, he doesn't have the mullet yet, because he has the mullet when he came back to life.
Oh, that's right.
So he doesn't have the mullet in
this
set.
Death gives you a mullet.
Yeah. And then the third set that NECA is doing is Batman vs. Predator that the Kuberts did. With the first Batman armor.
Ugh.
Which was very 90s Kubert.
It's awful.
I like it.
I hate it. It's terrible.
It's very Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it looks horrific.
I'm getting all three.
Yeah.
I am more excited for what NECA is doing with Batman Superman than what DC or Mattel is doing.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest surprise for the show for me, was seeing that a different company was going to do a great comic book-based Batman and Superman.
Yeah, you can't really argue that Batman and Superman are like their perfect comic book. Like we were talking about before we started recording, like house styles.
Yeah.
It's like those are perfect figures that fit.
Well,
in
they're
that
also
vein of,
based on the artists that did those series, which were perfect house style guys. Now, that armor one, as I said, were the Kuberts.
Yeah.
The standard Batman was Bernie Wrightson.
Yeah.
And the Superman is a Kevin Nolan.
Yeah, that's interesting that that's
Dan. I think Dan Jurgens wrote Superman Aliens, but didn't draw it.
Yeah,
and but Kevin Nolan either inked Jurgens or drew it outright.
Hmm.
But those are guys that are pretty classic house style. I mean, yeah. Barry Wrightson's stylistic, but he kind of exemplifies that late 80s, like that Simon Bisley, Dave McKean, that like getting into Vertigo area before the Tim Burton movie. So. As we were saying early on, how DC used to do these great artist editions of stuff. NECA is doing artist editions from classic artists of these characters that DC Direct has never done.
Yeah.
And really posable. They have like Marvel Legends posability, whereas DC Direct used to kind of do statues.
Right.
So again, you know, these two packs will be about $50. So that's four two packs that NECA is getting, because I'll buy the Evil Dead one.
Right.
But overall, I think there was this toy fair, nothing too major.
Yeah, like, there's nothing.
Imagine X has a 2-foot Commissioner Gordon Batman robot that can shoot missiles and stuff. But nothing, there's nothing like this is the big movie of the summer and here's a whole line with play sets that we used to
get. Yeah, I guess that's weird. It's like last year just seemed like there was so much more. It was a much bigger deal last year, it seemed. And this year, it's, I mean, that stuff's cool, but there doesn't seem any, like, shock, huge announcements, you know?
No, but everything is really solid. It seems like they almost, all the toy companies this year are just focusing on their core lines.
Yeah.
And saying, all right.
Yeah, no one's trying anything crazy. Yeah, like, that Batcave is very like, well, it's the third thing we did. We did the Batmobile, we did the Batwing, now we're going to do the Batcave.
The line's been around for years.
Right, it's got, you know, legs under it.
Right. So... And I kind of like this approach of like, look, these are the lines you like. You, we know that you want more Batman the Animated Series, more Marvel Legends.
Right.
Mattel said, oh, you want a couple of more comic book figures.
Yeah.
Mixed in with our horrible Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman. Even NECA has said, hey, you know, you guys expect Aliens and Predators from us. And we've done some good Batmans and Supermans.
Right.
So let's just combine those. And that was the biggest surprise. But I feel like the stuff that I have on my list for this year, I'm like, I'm really going to enjoy. There's nothing this year that I'm like, well, I have to finish the line.
Yeah.
Or this isn't
that. It's like you're kind of still looking forward to everything.
Yeah, like, oh, this figure's not that good, but it's based on this thing that I really want.
Yeah.
Or there's a couple of things that this is too expensive, but honestly, this stuff is too expensive. I'm not even that crazy about it. Now, as a store owner, is there anything you saw today that you think is going to be kind of a spike for you, or you think it's going to be business as usual for 2017?
That's the thing. I guess what I'm saying is I think it is very much business as usual. There's nothing in there that really jumps out at us other than the things we normally would order. You know, we're getting a little bit more of the Icon stuff. The Batman Animated Series we always get heavily, and the Marvel Legends we pretty much get every set they do. So that's what I'm saying. I guess there's nothing that's wows me, you know. It's just,
you think,
like,
you could sell that Batman Alien set.
We'll try them. The NECA stuff we actually do sell, even like the Godzilla figures. We bought them, they sat for a couple months, and then they sold during the convention. So with the NECA figure specifically, I know Karm's like a huge Predator fan, and he's a huge Superman fan, so at the very least we'll have a couple of those come in.
Superman Aliens,
right? Yeah. Superman Aliens or whatever it is. It's like that stuff, I think we've always said Batman's is an easy bet. Yeah. You know, it's kind of always, you know, I can always sell a Batman figure. I can always sell a Superman figure.
Yeah, you should always have a Batman figure in the store, right? Because just somebody walking in off the street who's not particular,
right?
Who's like, you know, we don't have a comic one, but here's an animated one. Yeah. You're still gonna be happy.
I mean, that's like those are the big three. We actually, it's really four now. There's four figures that we try to always have in stock because people, like I said, they don't care what version of it they're getting. They want Batman. They want Superman. They want Wonder Woman, and they want Spider-Man. Those
not
are
Wolverine.
I don't get nearly as many requests for Wolverine as I do for like Wonder Woman or Superman.
What about Iron Man?
No, I've got Iron Man's on the shelf, and I'll even tell people. Lady came in looking for Spider-Man. We only have the Superior Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "Oh, my kid, you know, it doesn't look right." She didn't want him. I'm like, "We have Iron Man," and she's just like, "No, he doesn't really care about Iron Man."
Hmm.
And it's just like that's one instance, but by and large, it's the DC, the big three, and Spider-Man.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
So, Marvel's been pumping them out. We've talked about omnibuses before, and pretty much every month Marvel's doing at least one. Now they're up to two or three, depending on what they're soliciting and what movies are coming out. But during Civil War, when all that kind of stuff was going on in the Marvel Universe, DC's space stuff was really kicking off. Or not DC, Marvel's space stuff. And I never read any of it. I didn't read Annihilation when it came out. I didn't read Abnett Lanning's Guardians of the Galaxy when it originally came out. Well, now they're starting to put all those stuff in big, nice, oversized hardcovers, which I'm a total whore for. And so I got Annihilation. I read that. Then they did Annihilation Conquest, which was like the sequel to that. I got that. They've done Realm of Kings, the sequel to the Realm of Kings, War of Kings. They're basically releasing all these awesome, epic space stories that they were doing about 10 years ago. Actually, more like 15 or 14 now. But the one I just started was I just finished the Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet omnibus they did.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up skipping a lot of the end of it because it's like the aftermath and that stuff just tended to drag. A lot of like Doctor Strange stuff that wasn't really good. I'm reading the Doctor Strange omnibus, the original Ditko stuff, which you pretty much fly through because they're like 12 issues.
Yeah, I finished
12,
that around the time
pages.
The movie came out. I read it.
Yeah, and that's good stuff. I'm not a huge fan of Steve Ditko, and we can argue about Mike Lawrence, whatever. I think he's a big fan.
I had brunch with Mike Lawrence yesterday. He didn't have time to do the podcast, but we basically spent all of our brunch arguing Steve Ditko versus John Romita.
Yeah, and I
was thinking, man, I wish I was recording this.
I know, and I like people that like Steve Ditko because I think Steve Ditko is one of these guys that I'm not smart enough to understand why he's great. I recognize that he's great. He comes up with great costumes, but his art's hideous. But anyway, so I'm currently just started because I'm reading that Doctor Strange and those go pretty quick. I wanted to read something that had a little bit more like consistent story, I guess, something that had like a larger overarching story. So I started Abnett and Lanning's Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's great. I really like it. I completely did not read this book when it was coming out. The movie is heavily based on this book. The team's pretty much the same team from the first one and what looks like going to be the second one. But it's a team book, which I love. Not great art, but it's not bad. And it's this is kind of like the book that made that movie basically happen. You know, that movie didn't get made without it. And like I said, we talked earlier, the original Guardians in the 80s, I think Joe Pakovitz is a kind of a fan of them, or at least he's much more familiar than
Joe,
we are.
Joe really loves the 70s cosmic stuff, and it definitely sits in that realm.
Yeah,
I'm not as big a fan of that type of comic.
Yeah, I love the 70s stuff when they were bringing them in. They were teaming up with the Avengers constantly, the whole Korvac saga. There's a lot of really cool stories with those characters. And they're not bad, but I could never probably read a monthly classic Guardians book. There's none of the characters that I care for. But the new one, the updated version, is really, really cool stuff. And I don't know. It's like, I feel like they don't write comics like they did even 10 years ago. You know, this
styles definitely change every 10 years.
Yeah, it's very different. But, you know, it's not so different that it's like unrecognizable. But it's kind of like... I've been thinking a lot about Geoff Johns' JSA run. I'm wanting to reread it. And this is crazy because I literally read this less than a year ago. There's three volumes. It's a massive run. But it's such a good team book. I was itching for another book like that. And Guardians was basically what I had on the shelf that I recently got that was similar enough to it to where it's like, here's a group of characters I know nothing about, and they're on a team. And it's good. If you like team books, it's definitely worth the read. I don't know if the Omnibus is still in print, but that stuff had been out of print for like... almost since the initial trades came out and sold out.
Yeah, well, it didn't sell that well originally.
No.
And that was kind of the whole risk of Guardians of the Galaxy. People forget. It was Marvel's on such a high, and they were like, hey, this book never even sold. Could we make a movie out of it? Would that work? And then it was a massive hit. It was one of the biggest hits
ever
had.
Yeah, and now, you know, they brought the book back. Bendis is writing it, and it's that same engine. You know, it's the goofy characters from the movie based on this Abnett and Lanning book, and it works. It's one of Marvel's bigger books right now is the Guardians of the Galaxy. It doesn't sell as great as it did when the movie came out, but you better believe when that next movie comes out in, is it May? Yeah, May's Guardians.
It comes out before Spider-Man.
Yeah, that'll be, they'll relaunch the book. There'll be a new number one. They'll do a whole thing of it. It'll be huge again, you know? And I think, like you said, we kind of forget before that movie came out, we were like, what? Why are they making a Guardians movie?
Right.
You know, it's like none of those characters, they weren't even, D-list characters, I would say. And now Rocket and Groot are two of Marvel's hottest characters.
Right.
You know, it's wild.
Yeah, that's the biggest lesson Marvel learned from Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah. It's anyone could be an A-list character, I guess.
So, yeah, so I started a new job. I mentioned it a couple of times. After freelancing for a long time, I started a staff job that's in the John Hancock Center, which is a big landmark. I like working in landmarks.
It's easy to find.
It's easy to point to it.
Yeah, no one's ever walking around Chicago and says, well, where's the John Hancock building? You know, it's like you never not know where the Sears Tower is.
Yeah, I was driving to work and about 3 miles away, I'm like, there's work.
Right.
I like that feeling. But one of the things that's in the Hancock Center, if you've ever gone to it, there's a Best Buy in the lobby.
This is, I feel like at some point I'm going to have to stage an intervention for you.
Yeah, because as we've mentioned many times, I've yet to give up on discs.
Yeah.
But I was walking out, and you can walk through the lobby.
Yeah.
You can walk through Best Buy to get out of the building, which sometimes I do. And as you walk through the lobby, they have like the new Blu-rays and DVDs this week. So... this just came out. They had the complete Beavis and Butthead on DVD for $25. And I was like, wait, $25? And it's like, it's every season, including that new season they did 5 years ago.
Okay.
And the movie.
They did a movie too?
Beavis and Butthead Do America. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was the whole thing for $25. And I was like, you know what? No one's streaming this.
Yeah.
I loved it when I was, Howie Weingarten, who's been on this show, and I were obsessed with it in college. They used to run it. Like as much as they run Teen Titans Go now on Cartoon Network, they would run it all night. And we used to get 40s of Budweiser because we were both underage and we figured they could only card us once.
Right.
So we'd get 140 each and then we would drink one beer all night. And then we would go back to, I kind of had like a basement apartment in my parents' house, which had a separate entrance. So I was living rent free, but
yeah.
But we would go back and we would watch videotapes of Batman, the Animated Series and Kids in the Hall. And then whenever we turned it off, Beavis and Butthead was on it. We would just watch it constantly.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mike Judge has gone on to do King of the Hill and Idiocracy and Office Space. But I was like, you know what? This is probably going to be a guilty pleasure. I'll probably watch like five of them and I'll be like, all right. It holds up so well.
Really?
It really does. The animations, choppy, but it's like choppy in that like early Simpsons or Bullwinkle way.
Yeah.
It's still really funny.
I never got into it. I was definitely too young, I think, for Beavis and Butthead when it came out.
Yeah, I was the right age.
Lisa's 3 years older than me or 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And she used to get in trouble for watching Beavis and Butthead, like, constantly. Like, yeah, she would have comic books. My dad would steal them and throw them out. She would, like, be watching the show, and they'd catch her, and they'd yell at her. It's like, we were not allowed to watch that show. So I don't even really know what it's about other than these two, like, idiots.
That's all it's about. Yeah. It's about these two idiots.
Right.
And that they don't do much, but and it's usually, like, it's kind of like Always Sunny in that way of, like, hey, they get an idea, and they do it the worst way possible, and they usually end up getting, like, hurt
yeah.
at the end of it. But I've been watching them like popcorn because the way they're on the DVDs, they've taken all the music videos out because this was back when MTV couldn't have any programming without showing music.
Yeah.
So they would shove like 4 music videos into an episode of Beavis and Butthead, and then Beavis and Butthead would kind of like Mystery Science Theater over the videos.
Okay.
And some of those are really funny, but most of them are not on the DVDs because they couldn't get the rights from all the record companies.
Sure.
For the DVD. So there are some things, some jokes I remember that are gone that kind of pissed me off. But without the music videos, each cartoon is like 5 minutes. They're like less than Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
So they're like popcorn. They just go, go, go. And I will end up watching like 10 of them. And because I'm a terrible parent, I'm watching them with right. my boys. But they're really, really – I forgot how good they were. It was on Netflix. Around the time the new season came out, MTV tried to bring it back.
Yeah.
And it was great because it was – Mike Judge after he had done like 10 years of King of the Hill. So he knew so much more about animation when he came back and so much more about story writing. And the new series season was probably the best. But I was reading about it didn't come back because they said it did pretty well, but like there was nothing like it on MTV anymore. They would have like Jersey Shore, 16 and Pregnant, Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
So there was talk about moving it to Comedy Central or moving it to another channel and then – It just fell through, and Mike Judge ended up doing Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So it may come back again in some form.
Yeah, stuff like that, it's kind of like we were saying earlier, it's like, well, they'll make everything. Yeah. They'll bring everything back. You know, if you're waiting for your special property, whatever this thing you liked from years and years ago is, it'll come back eventually.
Yeah, everything's like, at least been optioned.
Exactly. It's like they're... seem like they have a really hard time coming up with new concepts in the entertainment industry, so a lot of recycling seems to go on.
Yeah, well, my theory is it's not so much that they can't come up with new concepts is they can't prove that that will sell. But they can prove that this thing that sold 10 years ago will sell
if they
half
retool
as well.
It, yeah.
Yeah, and to bring it full circle back to Toy Fair, Moore Action Collectibles. Claiborne Moore had a company in the late 90s where he did like... Lady Death and Evil Ed and that kind of stuff. I think he had Buffy originally before Diamond had it. He did a very small line of Beavis and Butthead. It was Beavis and Butthead and Cornholio, which is Beavis with his shirt pulled over his head, which I may have to show you before you leave.
I've seen.
Yeah.
I am a Cornholio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which now Sebastian is doing.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So
I'm sure Renee loves that.
Oh, the 3.5-year-old? Yes. Yeah. He actually like popped up from the couch and went, are you threatening me? It makes me very, very proud. But he did a line of just those three figures, and they had bases that talked.
Yeah.
And I bought it from, like, Silver Age Comics because it was, like, back when I lived in Astoria and for, like, $12. So as I'm watching these, I'm like, oh, you know what? I wonder if you can get those on eBay. $75.
Oh, wow.
They've just skyrocketed because it's one of those properties, kind of like Pinky and the Brain, which we were watching again.
Yeah.
But it was way more popular than Pinky and the Brain. It was, like, it was gigantic.
Yeah.
You know, it was Simpsons level.
Yeah, like I said, awareness. they were making fucking comic books for Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
That's how like crazy it was.
But it's totally worth it. If you run across it in Best Buy, Netflix had it for a little while, but they had like 12 episodes. That was it. And there's like 100 of them. I've been watching them at random, and it's still really good. Because you know what? When you get down to it, Mike Judge is a talented person.
Yeah.
Like I can't point to a Mike Judge thing that isn't great.
Right.
So... obviously, it's the same guy who was doing it when he was young. When you get past like the surface level of shock.
Yeah.
And again, it's like Always Sunny. You're not supposed to identify with Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
You're not supposed to want them to set something on fire.
Yeah. They're a bunch of jerks.
Yeah. When they set themselves on fire, that's where it's funny. Definitely watch it again. It's like... our house has been inundated with 90s, and I think because I'm getting old. Like, we've been watching Seinfeld on Hulu and Animaniacs on Netflix and Beavis and Butthead on DVD.
Batman the Animated Series.
Batman the Animated Series figures are coming to the house. Because I'm getting old.
The 90s, they provided you with so much, you know?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in my
20s. It's a big cultural boom there.
I was
in
my
decade.
20s in the 90s, too. That's a good time to be in any decade in your 20s. But if you want to tell me how old I am now, because I keep talking about 90s things, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. Tweet me directly and tell me I'm old, because I know it.
You feel it.
Yeah, Gen X is approaching middle age, and I'm heading along with them. Or if you want to talk about how great millennials are, you can talk to Steven through the Facebook page.
Yeah, or you can find me sometimes at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!